Are you ready to excel? Excel with Dr. Gina's Radio Chat Live. We'll explore topics from family, religion, finances, health, healing, and transformation. Dr. Gina's platform is your springboard to excel. Transformation is just a chat away. Let's talk about it, family.
Well, good morning, everyone. Woo, this is such a great day. I'm so excited for today. First, I just want to say thank you guys for tuning in. I'm so blessed and so thankful for all the support and all of you listeners that have been diligently and all of the shows have been listening and just really, really passing the word along. I mean, everything is just growing and it's just moving so fast. It's just such an exciting experience. I'm so thankful for all the wonderful guests that I have had on the show. This platform has just been such a blessing. But I want to acknowledge the veterans today. I want to say happy Veterans Day to all the veterans, my family members, my friends. I want to say thank you personally. We at Dr. Gina's Radio Chat want to say thank you for your services and your sacrifice. It is just such a blessing. We cannot thank you enough. And you guys don't realize that even though there's no war, they're always diligently practicing and always diligently doing TDYs and all of these things to make their make it better for their task and things. And so they're always on duty. So I just really want to thank you guys just for the sacrifice daily and your yearly and monthly and daily commitment for this country and for our lives. So thank you so much for what you do, because you guys do it the best. We're always praying for you guys. We always pray over the grounds, the airways, in the sea, that all of our gates and borders are protected, and also that you guys are safe, and just to bless those that have given their lives have been taken, even in the midst of the challenges and the wars that have been going on, and there's just even just the day-to-day. So we just want to thank you for everything you do. We can't even thank you enough, and we can't even calculate all of it, but just know that we appreciate you. So I just wanted to acknowledge you on that. And also, I want to remind everyone about the jingle competition. We are having a Dr. Gina's Radio Chat competition, and I have been talking about it, but I'm going to blast it out the closer that we get to the date. It is a 30-second jingle, and I'm looking for songwriters. I'm looking for hip-hop artists. I'm looking for producers. I'm looking for singers. I need you guys to put together a 30-second jingle for Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. The grand prize winner will receive $500. Woo! Yes, $500 and a live interview on February the 17th, the day of the show at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will be interviewed live so the whole world can hear them and hear their creativity and hear their passion and what their goals are and the things that they have planned to do, and even be able to tell about their websites and all these different contact information. But not only that, for a whole year, the jingle will be played for a whole year. I'm so excited. I'm very excited because this is another opportunity that God had put in my spirit to allow people to be able to demonstrate their gifts and talents. So, I mean, look at just the platform and what a blessing Dr. Gina's Radio Chat is. I mean, it's a blessing to me to be able to minister to you guys and have the door open for everyone to be able to share their experiences, their passions, their talents, and their creativity and their gifts. So this is just an awesome way of doing it. So I want you to get your stuff in now. You got till January 31st at midnight to present your 30-second jingle, and you have to have it copyright free. We need to be able to use the music, have it produced, and you present it and email it to me at drgina.rprince@gmail.com. And please, if you have any questions or comments or anything concerning the competition, please email us your questions and we will get back to you. So today's guest, and I want you to get that going. I'm so excited. We got to get right into it. Today's guest is Rashima Milson. She is from DC. Oh my gosh, this girl is, you talk about triumph and you talk about focus and you talk about driven. Her story is definitely going to bless you all. I am so honored and so blessed to welcome Rashima Milson on air right now. Hi, Rashima.
Hi.
How are you, girl?
I'm good. I'm feeling better.
Oh, great. I know that we had been talking and in preparation last week, because I always like to give a week, you know, get stuff going and so we can go ahead and start advertising you and everything. And I know that you weren't well. So I really thank God that you are feeling so much better, because we had booked this show like maybe a month out or so. At least 45 days. It's been a while. So I'm so glad the devil didn't have his way and that God blessed you with health and strength that you can bless us with your story today. I really want to just get into, just thank you so much for taking the time, because I know you've done other interviews. I know the media has been pulling on you and interviewing you for your story. So I just really appreciate it. I don't know if you, did you have school today?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did. So a sacrifice. Truly, you are definitely appreciated. Well, Rashima, I just want to get right into it. So basically, I heard about your story through the media, of course. And, you know, even on your website, and we'll be giving that information towards the end of the show. So you mentioned about how the media knows you as the homeless girl that ended up going to college, to Georgetown. Can you tell us your story? Tell us about Rashima and how all of this just started.
Well, basically, from the media's point of view, you know, they see it as, if I could persevere through being homeless and still come out with a 4.1 and make it to Georgetown on a full ride, you know, anyone can do it. But when I go to speak to young women or just to go do public engagement, I think there's more to it than just talking about what was it like being homeless. You know, what was it like growing up and where I'm from? You know, life doesn't just start out when you're homeless. I think I'm just the kind of person who's been through so many trials and tribulations, and that's what helped me to overcome homelessness or any other hurdle that's been in my life, from self-esteem to weight loss to just finding out who I am, learning who I am, loving who I am, and just sending out a positive message and always being grateful for, you know, how God has blessed me. And that's when I said the media feeds off one aspect, but, you know, there's more to a person than just that one thing that they went through. So,
yes. So let me ask you this, as far as, because I want to go back and then come up, because that's where you are now. But let's go back some and let's talk about the homeless situation, period. You know, we can get into, and only if you want to get into how that happened, but I really want to get into, as a daughter and you're young and you're being taken care of by, you know, an adult, how were you handling that emotionally? And was that a long period of time before you graduated from high school, or was that right around the same time of graduation?
Are you saying, well, what is your main question, of self-esteem or?
Well, yeah, basically, I just want to know, like, okay, let me start this. When exactly did the homeless situation occur? Was it before you graduated from high school or after you graduated from high school or during your first year of college? Like, I don't know. When did it happen?
Oh, okay. That happened when I was in the eighth grade, and I was going to Hardy Middle School, which is right around the corner from Georgetown.
Okay.
And our first move was to Ohio. But the thing is, that's when me and my younger siblings were dealing with that with our mom, because we have older siblings that are 12 years older than us, and they actually were homeless as well when we were babies. So we don't know about that part. But I know when times got rough again, we transitioned back into being homeless. when I was in the eighth grade. So.
And so then it. So then that's where. So was it a year? Was it years, or was it that you were homeless and then you got a place? I mean, was it in and out? I mean, how was that process?
Okay,
were you literally homeless?
Yeah. It was for maybe about 6 years. And it was kind of like, at first it was just like, okay, well, we're not going to live here no more. I met a friend in Ohio. My mom said, you know, let's go to Ohio. Let's move there with my friend. We get there, things don't work out. And then we stayed in like this abandoned place, with another friend. And then things just weren't going good in Ohio. So we came back to DC thinking maybe if we come back, we'll get some help. And every 2 weeks we were from another place to another place. Some nights, you know, we did stay on the street. And then it got to a point where we, were staying in hotel to hotel. My mom would try to get discounts from people, she would know. And then eventually my mom was like, you know, I don't want to do this no more. And we were staying with my uncle. And so I had moved with another relative, because sometimes in our family we get split up. I've lived with several different people because they couldn't accommodate us all. And then my mom said, you know, I'm just going to call the shelter because I don't want to keep living with people and dealing with this. And then we stayed in the shelter for 2 years. My mom got out of the shelter at the beginning of the year, beginning of this year. So.
You said what? Say that one part again, because you broke up. What did you say?
Oh, my mom just got out of the shelter at the beginning of this year.
Oh, wonderful. That is so great. Do you believe at this time that this is more stability at this time for her?
I don't believe we're hoping. I've never had that. I don't believe in it because through my experience, you know, it hasn't always went well with the housing situation. And, you know, due to the new housing rules and recertification, we're having some issues there at the moment. So I live on campus full time. I actually don't live with my mom. It's only enough room for her and my younger brother. So I, you know, I hope things go well, but, you know, there's never no guarantee. So.
Well, Rashima, listen, I'm telling you, listening to your story is so many different things that, you know, that I believe that myself and other listeners can identify with in some way, or have a fear of in some way. Either they've been through it or, you know, they're on the brink of it. I mean, with today's society and everything that's going on and economically, I mean, people are really struggling. And this is why I really, really wanted to have you on the show, you know, not just to talk about the homeless part, because I do want to talk about the triumph and all of that, because I think it's so awesome, you know, the end results and how you've overcome. But I really want to tap into this, the beginning part for you, and just how this relates to so many people. It is a lot of single moms out here that are really struggling, and people don't even realize it. They're at their churches. They go to work every day. They're educated. Jobs are definitely difficult to find, you know, around the nation right now. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's like you have to literally water yourself down to even be considered for a cashier position. It is just really, really, really tough out here. And, you know, God is really, really amazingly showing himself favorable to a lot of people in their situations. If only people really knew what people are going through. Now, if you add substance abuse to these situations, of course, it could be a lot more difficult. It's difficult enough if you are, you know, not using substance and you're trying and you're putting it out there and everything. And then it's even more difficult if you have challenges along with the challenge. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know really what your mom's situation, you know, was or is or whatever. But I know for me, being a single mom and me being used to be on drugs. I mean, because I used to have a drug addiction for like 20 something years, and I was never homeless as far as, you know, not having a place and going into a shelter. but I have lost everything. And I did have to like stay with friends and move around for a minute, you know, but with a child, I just don't know how strong, you know, I would have been able to handle that. It takes some strength, even if you have substance issues, or if you have financial issues and substance issues, or either or. It's very difficult when you have children and you have to look at them in their faces and know that they need and you can't provide. The greatest fear for any mom, I'm certain, is that picking up your children, sleeping in a car, watching over them in a shelter. I mean, I guess I'm looking at it from a parental point of view. Mm-hmm. But I wanna ask you, as the daughter, and a young girl, did you blame your mom at all? Were you angry with her? I mean, what were your emotions during this time?
I think honestly, I did blame her. Actually, even before that, me and my mom, we haven't always had the greatest relationship. Due to my dad not being in the picture and me being curious about him and her being so secretive about it. And I think I blamed her the most for the fact that I wanted to be an actress. I've always wanted to act, to be on TV. And, you know, my mom, she's wonderful, though. She, when I was younger, I was taking acting classes and going to auditions, and, you know, she made the sacrifice with me, you know, go to all my auditions and my classes. But when I was at Hardy Middle School in my eighth grade, I had applied to Duke Ellington, and I got in for acting, and I was so excited. And then that's when she's like, yeah, we're moving. And I was just so disappointed. So at first, as a young girl, I wasn't really mad at the fact, like, oh, we're going to, you know, not have a house or a home or whatever. I was more upset with the fact that I felt like she had crushed my dreams. And then as the years had passed, I kind of realized what kind of situation we were in. And it turns into more of, I was really angry. I don't even know how to describe how angry I was. And I was just like, this is all because of you. I wouldn't have to do this if this wasn't for you. And I was angry with her for a long time, but honestly, this past summer, I just moved closer to God, and, you know, he calls us to forgive each other. And if you think, because, you know, your mom can be your enemy, if that's, you know, your opinion, that's in your eyes, but he still calls us to love them. So I said to myself, you know, I can't harbor this hatred and this anger towards her. And, you know, she has done a lot of wonderful things in my life. She's taught me a lot about survival. She's taught me a lot of street smarts, a lot of common sense. And it may not be on an educational level, but she's taught me a lot of things that without her as a mother, you know, I wouldn't have known. So I had to go back and look at the good things that she has done for me and, you know, thank her and just let go of the past. Because who knew where I would have been? You know, maybe it was a blessing from God that all this happened to me. So I was angry with her for a long time, and I'm trying to build a relationship with her now, because for a long time I didn't want one. When, you know, she tried to get close to me, I didn't want her to. I felt some kind of way, but I think things are going much better now. So.
I am so thankful to hear that, Rashima, because that was one of the next questions I was going to ask you. As you have forgiven her, do you believe that she's forgiven herself? And do you feel like, you know, when she's reaching out to you that, you know, that she has forgiven herself? Do you believe that she's done that?
Well, truthfully, my mom's the kind of person that's not going to blame herself. My mom has a lot of pride, and that's the reason why it took so long. She's one of those people. My mom doesn't look at the bad. She's like, well, I did this, and I did it for a purpose, and, you know, it was a reason, and you don't know what it's like to be a mom. And so, you know, we went back and forth, and I always tried to get her to look at it from a child's perspective, like, but you have to understand this. And so, but no, I don't think my mom has forgiven herself, because I don't think she blames herself. I don't think she, you know, her life, the way she grew up, is different from the way that she raised us. So to her, I think, you know, she's done a wonderful job, and she doesn't, you know, see anything wrong. So
Well, that is so, I think that is such a blessing. And I think a lot of, you know, mothers can really totally relate to her story, even from your point of view. It's just very helpful to know that, you know, that children can forgive the mistakes of their parents because we make a lot of them. I mean, you could be the best mom and you could provide and things like that, but it'll always be something that you fall short in because we're just not perfect. So from the very extreme to the least extreme, you know, there will always be something that we will not always completely be able to provide and fulfill for our children because they do have to learn their ways and have a relationship with God and, you know, what they like and what they don't and what they desire and, you know, things like that. So, I mean, if we were able to provide everything, you guys would not, you know, be able to have that, that element to be able to find yourself, you know what I mean, and find out who you are. And I just believe that everything is not by chance. I think everybody's life is already predestined. I just believe that God has truly used your testimony to really help and set a lot of people free, even from, you know, talking about your mom's end to yours, to your personal walk separate from your mom, but just that one meet, that piece of you walking with her and not understanding and having those dreams. And it helps parents understand to really try to get to know your children. And this, your story is helping people, parents and children, to be able to communicate, to be able to understand that children do have dreams and they have, I mean, because when I was younger, I wanted to write songs. I used to sing and write songs and I really can't sing, but I really, but when Fame, the old movie, you probably too young to know about Fame, but when Fame was out, I used to put on productions in the party room because me and my mom, she was a single mom, and we stayed in an apartment in this city called Southfield, Michigan. And I used to perform, get people, and we used to do dance shows and singing shows and invite our parents and grandparents and all that stuff. So I know what it's like to be 10 and 8 and 9 and 11, to have dreams, you know what I mean, at that age, and grow up with wanting to have desires and things like that. And so that's what I try to just relate with my son. So no matter what the struggle is, and we all go through it, we run short, you know, we're tested in our faith, you know, I want my son to always see the strength of God that motivates and push me, and that I love him so and appreciate the gift that he is, that that I'm able to be able to, you know, keep it moving. A lot of people would have given up. You could have given up. Your mom could have given up. I mean, but you guys kept striving. So now we get to the place, okay, you're graduating from high school. What's going on, Rashima? Tell us what's happening.
I'm graduating from high school, get a phone call, you know, hey, we know that, you know, you live here, and we're so proud of you. You know, we figured out that you have, a 4.0, you're going to be valedictorian.
Wow.
It was a news reporter, you know, would you love to do an interview? And honestly, I was never one to tell my business, not because I was embarrassed, but it's nobody's business. It's no point of going around gossiping if that person's not going to help you. Not to only say that you should talk to people for the benefit of yourself, but if they're not going to help you and they're going to turn into gossip, I don't need that in my life. But I figured they were going to tell the story anyway, so why not I just come out and just speak the truth instead of having someone turn it? So
right.
And then after that, the media thing, it kind of went crazy. So
wow. So when you got the news as far as you getting accepted to Georgetown, was that like your first pick? Did you apply for other schools? How did that go?
My dream school was Vanderbilt. I was upset.
Wow.
I got declined, but my family, my dad's side of the family, they live in Nashville, and I've wanted to go to that school ever since I was like maybe 10. And I was like, I'm going to get in. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to go to Vanderbilt for undergrad, med school. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to, you know, I wanted to really be close to my family. When I'm next to them, it just so much joy in my heart. And I feel whole. And I don't feel like I miss my dad. And they kind of complete that picture. So I really wanted to be there. So that was my first pick. I had a I was going to go to the University of Miami, which I did get accepted. I got a 75% scholarship. But then Georgetown,
wow.
I was doing high skip at Georgetown. I was doing dual enrollment. So I was already in Georgetown when I was a senior at Anacostia. And so I applied and they were like, they're a need-based school. So they were like, well, we're going to give you, you know, full financial aid. And I was like, oh, well, forget Miami. Georgetown,
wow,
I, come.
Yeah.
I don't have any money. So, yeah, that's how it worked out.
But you know what? That Georgetown is a great school, and I had even considered my son going there for the college prep for high school. Just throwing it out there. Hardy was one of the schools that I was, you know, referred for him in middle school. I mean,
yeah,
it's just so incredible.
School.
I heard that Hardy was an excellent, wonderful school.
I'll miss Hardy. Yeah.
When you said that you went to Hardy, I said, oh, yeah, this girl got some good grades because they don't play. And I mean, so I'm really impressed with all of that. So my thing is, do you want to talk about your dad a little bit, his family and stuff like that? Do you want to go into that? I know you had mentioned it briefly before, you know, his family and everything. I know they have to be truly proud of the accomplishments that you have made.
I believe they are. My family, they're very down to earth. They're really humble people. They are nosy people, but it's for the good of you. I really love them. I feel as if my cousin Cola and her daughter Gabby, like I used to call Cola my sister, but then once she had Gabby, and Gabby's only 2 years younger than me, I was like, no, Gabby's my sister. But I just love them, and they're really close. I feel like if I'm having a bad day or something not going right, I could pick up the phone and call them, talk to them for 3 hours. And it's like I only see them once, you know, a year because
wow.
we live down there. But when we see each other, it's like no time has passed. We talk, we have fun, we play games. I think that's the true ideal of a family and something I've always wanted. Because I feel like, you know, not having my dad and just having my mom and my siblings, but when I'm there, it's just so structured and it's full of love. And it's not any like uppity thing. It's just like, you know, to have that love, that's what I've always searched for.
Wow.
And yeah, it's great. I love being down there with them. I really do.
You know what? I'm stuttering. You got me stuttering literally because I can't even believe the words that are coming out of your mouth. I mean, it's just so incredible. I'm literally stuttering. Okay. I didn't even know where to start this because I was texting and I was, you know, texting people so they can know. I said, if you're not tuning in, you really got to tune in. This girl is bringing it. She is so raw and so transparent. I'm like in love with her. I mean, it's like, I think I'm adopt you as my little sister. I'm serious. I just, because we've always, every time we talk, we have these great conversations. And I always just feel like you just need to become, you need to come straight up with you. There's no toiling around. You're very tough. Very mature and sweet as a button at the same time and cute as a dog. We're going to get into that in a minute. but, you know, I love talking to you. Like, you are such a breath of fresh air, literally. And when you said that as far as, you know, wanting that love and that structure, oh my gosh. I mean, it's like you just spoke right out of my heart. I mean, I could relate so much to you with that, and I'm not going to get into that. But yeah, that looking for that kind of love, that structure, that family kind of unit, that type of thing. It is so many people, Rashima, that really are missing that. And they look for that and they try to find that in so many different ways. And I want to get into that because I mentioned how beautiful you are. But when you were like teenage and you were in high school and you're going through all of this and now you're in college, I mean, what was the dating like? Did you think about dating? Were guys trying to pursue you? I mean, you're so smart. I mean, what kind of guy? Let me start off. Were guys, because I got so many questions. Okay, let me start off first. Were guys trying to pursue you while you were in high school and going through all of this transition? What was that like for you not wanting to discuss where you were, you know, in your life at that time? Did you date?
So, no, I did date in high school. But when I first got there, a lot of guys, you know, and I'm not trying to be funny, but in that area, it's mostly, you know, about looks. And even the guy I was dating, at first, it was about looks to him. I'm not really a person of looks. I'm more into your character. I could care less about what you look like. Sometimes I think the people who look good are the biggest jerks, but basically, I met the guy, he was on the football team, I was on the track team, and everybody was like, you know, don't talk to him, he's a nobody, you know, he's not worth nothing, and then the star quarterback was trying to talk to me, and he was the biggest jerk. I really didn't like him, and it was so annoying because I don't like when people put other people down. And so it made me kind of, you know, let me talk to this guy and see what's going on, because I was going through something. And when I was in middle school and people would say, you know, talk about me and, you know, my weight issues, and people wouldn't give me a chance because of how I looked or what people said. And I was like, you know, I'm going to take this guy up and whatever. So we started dating, and he wasn't in the same situation as me, but he was going through his own personal situation, and it made us bond closer because we kind of knew what the struggle was like. And we had a lot in common. We had, you know, he's a guy, young guy, whatever. I was young. There were a lot of arguing, but I'm so used to persevering through tough things that I was like, I'm going to make this relationship work. You know, I never wanted to get married, but I always knew that if I did ever get married, I would have to face things, and I can't just be like, oh, you know, it's over, we're breaking up. It would have to be a divorce, and, you know, that's not what God wants. So I learned, like, always to, if there's a problem, work it out, you know, work through it. And we've actually been dating for the past 3 years. So he's in college now. I guess you could say it worked out.
That's great, Rashima.
He had to find out a lot about himself. And, you know, he had said to me, which was, I respect his honesty because we were always honest because, you know, that's just who we are as people. And when we had first met 6 months into the relationship, he was like, you know, you kind of got your whole life planned out. I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do. He's like, you know, you're the kind of girl that a guy would marry. I'm still, you know, young. I'm still thinking. Like, he was just randomly out of the blue. And basically he was just saying to me, like, you know, you're it. Like, you know, I really want to be with you. And he's like, so it took him time to kind of be on this level where it's like, I'm in a committed relationship, or I'm in this relationship, and this is not just for the moment. This is for the long haul, and I see a future, and, you know, I want to plan things out and stuff like that. So, I had to grow up fast. But, you know, for him, I understood that. And it worked out for them. It's going well at the moment.
That is so awesome. So what school does he go to?
He goes to North Carolina A&T.
Oh, okay. My sister graduated from North Carolina A&T. I think that's really wonderful that you guys. And this is your, what year is this for you? Is this your first or second year?
Oh, it's my second year.
Okay. So, you know, the whole thing about that is that, you know, I think the meat of the whole story with that is that you're because of what you've gone through. And see, this is the thing that people don't understand. And I really do appreciate, again, you sharing every part of you right now, because honestly, people don't understand when you've gone through stuff, it makes you it creates this the strength that is, you're just not a quitter. And that means on relationships, that means in your career, that means in your pursuit of your destiny, you're just not a quitter. No matter if you fall short, no matter if you fall on your face, make a mistake or whatever, trial and error, you're going to keep on pursuing. And that's the thing about the grind of, you know, going into that world, the streets. I mean, it just makes you want, you just hungry. And so, I mean, I totally get it as far as, you know, you're not being a superficial person. You're very humble. And these are the qualities that so many of us really, really need, because temporal things are not lasting, but those relationships and, you know, your personality, your perseverance, you know, your faith in God, your trust, your walk, all of this builds your character. And it's just so important. And I love that he recognized that treasure in you. And I really want a lot of the young women to hear that. It's not so much about dumbing yourself down. It's about being steadfast and allowing that person to rise up. In her story, her boyfriend came up. You know, wherever he was at, with not understanding and not knowing where he was, who he was, the story of it is that she stood firm with love and compassion and support and not giving up on him, but also allowing her treasures to be revealed as far as what her quality is, her visions, her dreams, her desires, her willingness to not quit and give up on him and on anybody for that matter, not even on her family. I mean, it's very, very honorable. And I just want people to really gather that, because so many people with the videos and want to be famous and want to be known and want to have lots of money and to show off to everybody else, but they don't have that substance that will keep a relationship, that will keep them from growing old alone, or, you know, for you know, mm-hmm. being able to be appreciated and valued and treasured for the depths of them. And we're so surfacey that we're not going deep. And it's just, it's a lot of divorces from that, a lot of friend relationship breakups from that, and a lot of people just don't even pursue their, because if you can't be loyal to yourself, okay, how can you be loyal to anyone else? If you can't be loyal to yourself to see your way through something, through the tears, through your mistakes, through your shortcomings, and be humble before God, how in the world can you do the same thing for anyone else? And you know, and I just think that is just a powerful testimony. And I'm glad that he's in school. He's at my sister's old college alumni. And, you know, it sounds like you guys are on, you know, got an understanding, and he's built his confidence. I think it's great. So how's your grades now? You're in your 2 years. What's going on? How's school going?
School's good. My grades are good. It's just trying to figure out what I really want to major in. I think that's my issue at the moment. So it's between, I want to be a Spanish major or theology major. And I also, I'm planning to travel to Barcelona in 2017.
Wow.
The spring semester. I also just did an internship with the DCP medical examiner this past summer, which was great. And he is a wonderful person. Like, when I meet men who have families and I see them, you know, being that man that I've always wanted in my life as a dad, it's just like, do you know how lucky your kids are? I say that to people. I was doing my first interview ever in the Washington Post with Joe Hines. We were talking, and he was interviewing me, and I was looking at his desk. You know, people leave their pictures up of their kids on the desk, and I was like, you are such a wonderful dad. He was showing me all the pictures of his daughter, and I was just like, for those dads out there, like, who have families and are great providers, they don't know, like, how much that means to a daughter or to their son, but for me, I've always wanted that dad in my life, and I've kind of given up, because, I mean, I'm 20, but, you know, when I see it, I always let dads know, like, trust me, you are, like, highly appreciated. And so it's just wonderful to be, you know, in that environment. But yeah, things are looking good. I just need to pick a major, because my next semester we have to declare a major. So that's the only thing that I'm like stressing about, but everything else is well.
So I can't even say how did you adapt, because, hey, you went to Hardy, so you already know your study habits and stuff. So, hey, that's already evident. So we're not even going to ask you how you maintaining your grades and your homework and your studies and all that, because when I've called you, like, I'm in class, you know, and, you know, first things first is that school. And I so admire that, and I so appreciate it. You know, I got my doctor's degree in theology. What theology did you want to go into?
I was looking at it yesterday because we had to pre-register yesterday for next semester, and I was like, I don't know if I like these theology classes, because it talks about a lot about the Holocaust and the Jews, And then they have some Christianity, but, you know, it's not a lot. It's a Catholic school. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm debating upon that. But right now, I think I'm just going to pick the Spanish. I've always wanted to be fluent in Spanish. Like, every school, I've gone to over 15 different schools, and everyone that's offered Spanish, like, every Spanish teacher can tell you how zealous I was about it. Like, I've always wanted to just, yeah.
Girl, let me tell you, I took Spanish in high school, I think twice or three times. You know, I don't remember nothing but hola and uno, dos. I can't even say the numbers no more. It's so sad. Me llamo Gina E2. I just know a few
yeah,
things.
Yeah, you got to really practice. And, yeah, I know the struggle.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I take intensive intermediate, so that's two classes put into one, and next semester I'll be taking advanced. And right now, I'm telling my teacher, I get into the class, and most people there, they're already really good at speaking. They're just there for the grammar. Now, I'm good with the grammar, but, like, the speaking and listening, that's what I'm working on. So I'm like, I don't know. Like, sometimes when I first got into the class, I had this little fear, like, wow, these people, you know, really smart. And that's the first time I've never been... not fear, but I've never had that thought where, like, all these people are better than me or anything like that. But because I'm really, like, pursuing this, I'm like, oh, I looked at it as a competition. But, you know, everybody in class was really friendly, really nice. If I needed help with something, you know, they would help me. And everybody has, you know, the area that they need to work on. And they're really understanding. So, you know, all it takes is just practice, practice, and practice. Because I'm so used to speaking English. Sometimes in class, I'll just be like, can you help me with this? And I'll be like, oh, wait. And then I got to say it in Spanish. And I'm like, sorry. So it's you got to make it a habit.
It definitely is something, because I know that my partner, my good friend, Janet Lugo, she speaks Spanish. And I'm telling you, her and her family, and she has this little sway about herself when she's speaking it. It's totally different from when she's speaking in English. Her hand gestures and, you know, her tongue is rolling and she's got this sassy thing going. And I'm like, oh, I want to learn how to speak Spanish. I want that so bad. But my son last year, his Spanish teacher, coming in the door, she was hola. Everything she said was in Spanish.
Yeah,
he was like, Mom,
here.
I don't know what she's saying. I don't know what she's saying. So this year they got a different Spanish teacher. So he's learning it. And I guess, you know, like, it'll be like what you have, like, right now, where you just kind of come into class and speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I got a tutor because I got to catch up. When I want something, I got to work hard for it. I got to, you know, go towards it. And I was like, I really need, like, help. I need to be speaking. Like, you need to. And so when I got the tutor, she was speaking in Spanish. And she was like, this is my method. This is how I help people. And I'm like, that's a good method. But if I'm trying to learn Spanish, you got to break it down in English so I could translate it over. And so I was like, I don't know about this tutor, because how do you teach someone in Spanish if you don't, you know, already necessarily know Spanish? So I was like, I don't think this is the right tutor. But, yeah, they will just speak to you in Spanish. They say that if you just keep speaking, you'll pick it up and learn it. But it's different methods for different people, so.
Well, I just want to say this, Rashima. I'm just so blessed to have been able to meet you. I don't even know how our paths crossed, but I'm so glad that they did. I'm so thankful for your story. I love your energy. I love the rawness. I love the intellect. I love the pursuit of your dreams. You're just such a blessing, such a blessing. And I just really want to encourage people, be you. You know what I'm saying? Be you, educated you, beautiful you, loving you, you know, going through your process you. Just be you. Just be beautiful. It is so much beauty in you just being yourself. And I can hear you just being you. And I just, you know, continue to grow and mature and allow God to mold you and just everything just enhanced and better. But just continue to be you. Continue to be humble. Continue to be loving and grateful and appreciative. Continue to be forgiving. I just want to thank you so much. I want you to before we go out, I want you to give some words of advice, wisdom. I mean, for your age bracket, what are you know, talk to some of these young women and some of these young men that, you know, what's from your heart that you're seeing, because you're their age. So what would you say to them, and what do the parents need to hear from your from your generation? Can you just say something to leave us with something?
The only thing I can really think of is that from my heart, I know that a person will only change or do better for themselves if they want to. So if I, you know, the words that I speak, you know, it's for the people who really want it for themselves. You know, you can hear it, and all that sounds good, but then if you don't apply it to your life, you know, it doesn't matter. And I just say, like you said, be yourself. I've always learned to be myself. And even in this Georgetown environment where there's a lot of people with money and stuff, I come from no money. I don't, you know, I'm always myself. I'm always real. If I want something, I go after. If I need help, I ask for help. I'm not ashamed to ask for help. I'm not ashamed to, you know, tell my weaknesses. And I make decisions based on what I want and, you know, what's for the best of me. And I do make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. But from my mistakes, I've learned. I can say that dealing with education or anything in life and those type of decisions, that I've never made the same mistakes twice. In a relationship, yeah, because, you know, that love thing's crazy. But, yeah, honestly, just be yourself and be dedicated to what you want to do. And don't give up, and don't let nobody tell you, you know, that you're not good enough or you can't do it. I think everybody has the power to do what they want inside of them. You just really got to go after it. And there's more on the website that I'm doing now to tell more about my life story or the struggles that I've been through. And just for people who just want to follow along with my story or just really want to know me, like I said, I don't even talk about the homelessness thing because there's way more to it, especially for females. Just being a female at the age of 13 and up, just, you know, or even younger than that, that's when it really hit me. And I started to really, you know, have to grow older and, you know, become more mature and have to make decisions on my own and have to pick up, you know, after my mom, for my brother. But that's where things really started for me. So I share my life story, and I'm an open book. And a lot of people, you know, if they have questions, they'll ask me. And, you know, I don't mind being honest. I feel like whatever I went through or my mistakes I made, people can learn from that and build off it themselves. Mm-hmm. So,
please give them your website.
My website is at RashimaMelson.com. So it's my first name, last name, .com. And I love the website. I just like going to it, just to listen to the song. Do You, it's a wonderful song, and it just describes me for just so many things that I've been through, and I know that other people have been through, so it's just pushing you to be a better you, not what the world wants, not what society wants, not what your parents want, because at the end of the day, you have to live your life, and you have to be satisfied with the way that you're living and who you are, and you can't let nobody tell you how to live your life, so...
Rashima, would you say that through everything that you have been through and everything that you have overcome, would you say that you have been healed, or would you say that you're still a work in process?
I'm always a work in process. I feel like even though I know where I stand, that I'm always growing and I'm always learning different things about myself. I'm a pescatarian, but the thing is, like, when I was with my friends, and I've never had duck before. So I had a conference in Texas, in a gala in Texas, maybe 2 weeks ago. And, you know, they were serving duck. And I'm like, well, I'm a pescatarian. And I thought, like, no, I don't eat meat because of my choice. But if I want to eat something, I can't be labeled because I told somebody, you know, I'm a pescatarian. So they're like, oh, she has to stick to that. I don't like being labeled. And I just want to be myself. And I love to try different stuff. I like duck. I like what I taste it. I'm always growing, and I know who I am, but it's so much more to me. If people learn more about me, I'm still learning about myself. So, yeah, I'm not done yet.
I would say to that, you know, for any listener, even to you, you know, the healing is when you are able to just move on. And because you're not stuck in blame city, and because you're not stuck in pity party lane, and because you're not going back and forth like a yo-yo up and down, and your eyes are fixed on the prize and you're moving forward, I just would confess and decree that you are healed, yet still a work in progress, because there's so much more, like you said, to yourself. But I would definitely decree, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Because you could have been, it's so many people, like even myself, what we've gone through and others have gone through, that could have just left them right there. But because we're able to have these type of conversations and have a testimony to share and show the glory of God, there has been a healing. So I just want to decree that over you. And I'm just so excited to know more about what's coming up. What's coming up? You're picking out your major. Where do you see, what do you want to do in the next 5 years? Once you, I mean, okay, so you got a career. Now what? You said you didn't want to be married. Do you want to be married now that you booed and already claimed you? I mean, has that changed a little bit?
I don't know about marriage. I mean, it's just that, honestly, just the way that I grew up and not having a dad, and even with children, I'm not really looking forward to that. I'm because I don't want to put my children through the same thing my mom put me through. And that, I guess that's a fear of mine, to not be a good mother or not to be a good wife or to have a husband and there's infidelity issues. Or I don't want any of that. And I just know that, like people say, you can never disappoint yourself. I mean, you can, but, you know, you wouldn't do it on purpose. So I'm kind of good where I'm at. I'm kind of just getting comfortable. And I don't like being comfortable because that's when you get lazy.
Yeah, you like challenges.
Right, because that's where I learn and grow from. But my life right now, I'm happy.
Well, I'm so glad.
For the next 5 years, I wanna just explore and learn more, because I feel like, I know I'm young, and I know that many people have probably faced way more than me, and you know they've probably been dealing with it their whole life and they haven't had a break, and God has blessed me. But from everything I worked through, like when I, you know, encountering new things, I'm like, wow, where has this been all my life? I just want to do so much more and travel and stuff like that. So,
well, I think that's great for your age. I think that's great for your age. I think just what I want to say to you, and I'm going to leave with this, your challenge would be to overcome the fear of failure of being a wonderful mother and a wonderful wife. And even though that may not be something for you right now in 5 years, it could be 10 years, it could be 15 years. That's going to be your challenge, because everything that we fear to fail is actually the very thing that we will be even more of a blessing in. I'm nothing like, my relationship with my son is nothing like the relationship that I had growing up, you know, with my mom. It's totally different. It's just a different situation. So a lot of the things that we may have gone through in life are just actually the very thing that'll help us do even better. And because you have broken so many generational things already, sister, girl, only the best is yet to come. God is raising you up to do great things in every avenue of your life. You are so many different things. God is going to show you so much. But I say travel, travel, travel. That's what I did when y'all was your age. Go to Cancun. Go overseas. Go stay somewhere for a month. Go somewhere. You know what I mean? Do what you got to do and enjoy your life. And all of these things will come in due time. And it's all exposure for greatness for you to be able to pour into your children and your family whenever, you know, when that time comes. But you are fearless, you are fierce, you are everything and all that. And I just celebrate you, Rashima. I'm so glad that you are in my life. This is my sister, you guys. This is my little sister. This girl right here, I tell you, I have never met anybody that sounds, I mean, you like speaking, just sound like just a younger version. I'm telling you, it is so amazing to me. But we'll talk on, you know, on the sidebar about some things I'll share with you. But anybody that want to read about it, go get Born into Sin, Transform into Destiny. This is the last chapter of the sad story. I'm like Rashima right now. We moving onward and upward. There's so much more to tell, just like it is with your story. I want you to stay with me while we close out. Okay. There's so much more to your story. There's so much more to your life. There's so many things that God has for you to do. I mean, be an inspiration not only to others, but also to yourself. Know that God has got you here for a divine purpose, and that there's people waiting to hear your story. I love you all. Thank you for joining us with Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. And please go on to Rashima's website, Rashema Melson 1022 rashemelson@gmail.com. Again, rashemelson1022.com. You guys, just remember this. You're not alone. Everybody has got a story. Everybody has been through something. You guys know that God is your strength. He's your source, right, Rashima? He's everything. Yes. None of us would make it without him. We can't do nothing without him. So just remember these testimonies. Remember the stories. Again, email, call, whatever. Be a part of the show because your story can help someone in the midst of what we're talking about right here. It doesn't have to just be the two people or whatever I'm interviewing. Feel free to call the toll free number at 1-888-647-6008, and we'll be doing more giveaways in the following weeks to come. So you guys be blessed. We love you. Have a wonderful day and happy Veterans Day again. Thank you, Rashima, for joining us.
No problem.
Bye-bye. Bye, you guys.
Remember, God wants excellence from us. You can't achieve excellence unless you first excel. Please join us live on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat every other Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Central Time, and 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Until next time, loving you.